Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you. So if you pull those doors closed, it's one of those little teacher things I have. You got to close the doors and then we start. It's my weird way. Well, I am John and this is Patty Leach and we are so glad to speak with you. Oh, it's going to be one of those mornings.
I don't know where that one's
at. It's good. You could turn it down a little bit, but it's good. So, yeah. But anyways, we are really glad to have you guys on this crazy journey. So, you know, we've been here a long, long time, 36 years, I think, something like that. So,
85.
So we've been here a while, but it seems like we, every time we walk in, it's our first time. We love what God does here. So like you, we cry and worship three times, get saved three times in a service. And, you know, it's amazing. We just like you. And when things get weird, we go, that's weird. But when things are amazing, we go, that's amazing. So it's all the same. And we love it quite a bit. So. Well, let's just start off with a word of prayer, and then we'll have some folks share their journey. So, Father, thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for the breath of fresh air you always are, and thank you for getting us to this place. Thank you for all the faith, the love, the prayers of people that are connected to us, people that have been here, and thank you for this space that we have a chance to connect with you. It really is all about you. Pray for every family here and that they are grafted in according to your will and blessing and encouraged in faith. We thank you we get to do this together. We really do. In Jesus' name we pray. Can you say amen? Go ahead. You tell them what they're going to share.
Who's going to share? Well, I think last week you met, I don't remember which ones you met. Brian was telling me some couples. Do you know if you shared last week? But I think two families shared. Was it you guys? Both of you. Beck. Oh, so now you're new friends and everything. This is, you're good. Well, this week... Ken and Juanita Geist are going to tell how they got here. And take a minute and do that. That'd be great.
Good morning. We're the Geises. We're from Mechanicsburg. The church that we're coming from, we were members for 42 years before we're starting this chapter of our life, so it was not an easy decision. But when COVID hit, they bunkered up, and we needed to be able to worship in person. We were invited here by friends. We came out here, and what we found was you teach the word, you challenge us, incredible worship, and a home for our grandchildren. Our daughter's a midwife, works a lot of Sundays, and as a result, we keep bringing our grandkids here, and it's a beautiful place for them, too. So this has been a beautiful place for our whole family. So thank you for having us.
And I think I met Juanita at Momentum. Yeah, so, yeah, that's connections with the Joaquin family, if you know the Joaquins. Another treasure among us, Sharon Colleen.
Hi, my name is Sharon Colleen. I've been coming to Life Center, I guess, about 4 years from Newville, Pennsylvania. Probably about 5-6 years ago, my husband was diagnosed with cancer, and my kids wasn't really rebelling against God, but they didn't like their youth group, so... You know, we started visiting all the youth groups, and we went around and around. And we finally came here, and I can remember the day they stepped out of the youth room, and they're like, Mom, Dad, this is it. We can stop our luck. So we've been slowly transitioning to making Life Center our home. This past year, my husband passed away, and Life Center has been completely supporting us emotionally, physically, and definitely spiritually. And there's been a lot of redemption. We brought a lot of his doctors, nurses, staff have actually started coming to Life Center. So that's been awesome.
Thank you. And Adam was a very special person who gave his life away to the Lord a long, long time ago. So just his course. We appreciate it. So why don't we tell you a little, you're going to share about our journey a little bit. So get to know us a little bit.
When John and I first came in, when we were first here, and then Charles came in 88 or 89, actually 87, it was 89 or so till he was officially, it was like having a head transplant. You know, and if you've been in churches long enough, you know, leadership can go through all kinds of things. So we were very young, we were in our late 20s, early 30s, and all of our best friends were leaving. Because they just, for whatever reasons, offended with whatever. But it's hard because you're building community and people are leaving. And so I just was praying. I'm like, God, you have to show us what to do because we don't want to follow our friends for our friends' sake, but we want you. But our friends are pretty smart too, you know, that kind of. So I had a dream one night, and in the dream, Brian and Marcy, who you met last week, we are down at a beach house in Kill Devil Hills. and we were going to the Outer Banks in that season of our lives. And in the dream, Brian and Marcy are on the first floor, and John and I are on the second floor, and a huge storm is coming up, massive, massive storm. And Brian and Marcy are in the bathroom clinging to the downstairs bathroom pipes. And John and I are upstairs just holding on. And in that, it speaks of intimacy and the inner workings, you know, for dream interpretations among us. But this huge storm comes up. It picks up the beach house, and it tumbles it out way, way out deep into the ocean. And then Charles Stock, who... We're believing for God to build a community of mixed cultures, mixed generations. We love the older ones among us, and we so treasure the babies, and that God is moving through the whole community. I love that people can look here and find a little bit about themselves, but also find people that are different, and that I want to look like what the kingdom of God looks like. So I don't want you to feel like I wish I was here 20 years ago. You're here at just the right time for what God's building in this hour. And we have need of you. We have need of you to be involved in whatever capacity God leads you, or we just want to support you in what you're doing in your ministries and in the marketplace, whatever that looks like. So in that, I wanted to tell you, we were talking about the presence of the Lord, and that really is stewarded around here by our prayer lives, our individual prayer lives and our corporate prayer lives. And that's what I now oversee here at Life Center. So I just encourage you, there's two ways you can get involved. We have an online prayer network, and it's just as simple as you going to the website and signing up and just picking any hour. We've had seasons where we've tried to build 24/7. We've done all kinds of prayer over the years. But what we're doing right now is inviting people, be a part of the on-site. If you can't get into the prayer room, at least sign up and say, hey, this is my hour a week that I'm going to be praying for the things that concern Life Center. And then our on-site prayer room is right in the juncture between the old and the new lobby. It's just been refurbished. And we have 6 prayer groups that meet during the week that are open to the public. And those are John meets Friday mornings for men's prayer. You bet. There's a 6 a.m. There's a group that prays for the nations with Edgar and Yadira on Monday mornings. There's a group that prays on Wednesday mornings for the city. There's women's prayer on Tuesday night. I've prayed for the last 8 years with a team on Tuesday mornings for prodigals and families. And that came out of, I don't know how much of David's story he told you last week, but he took a couple years and went around the moon and back. And we still stayed very close to him. But so someone stopped me one day and said, how did you and John believe for David to come back to the Lord? Desperately. Tears. But that birthed this prayer group. And we have seen family after family restored. Amelia's been, before she became a mom and could join us, we saw the most amazing testimony, I think, is Lorene's testimony, where a friend of ours who comes to the prayer group, she had a friend who said, would you pray for my son also, David, is his name. And so we began praying for this young man, David. Here, her friend, I forget them, let's just say her name is Mary. So Mary decides, that's it, I've got to find him. She hasn't seen him in 10 years. So she goes to take out a loan to hire a private investigator. And in taking out the loan, she thinks, hey, I also need to get some house repairs done. So before she even gets the money out, she's scrolling on like a home repair business, landscaping and stuff. She's just scrolling. And at the end, it shows all the workers. And the last picture was her son, David. So she calls them. They're reunited now. Lorene and Mary and David, they all have Christmas dinner together every year. It just was so, I can't tell you that. So God answers prayers. He answers prayers. So you're welcome to jump in on any of them, on site or online, or you're just welcome to come into the prayer room. It's open every day from 12:30 to 4, open to the public. Or you can call me or check with Susan in the office, and we find times to fit in. If you just want to go in and soak, we have people that are fighting all kinds of situations. They just want to get in the prayer room and put some music on and just seek God. So it's available to everybody. So. Anything else you're thinking of? All right, coming up here.
Yeah, prayer is so important. I can't encourage you enough because it moves you from a spectator into a participant. It really does. You know, one of the things we thought about when we were trying to build the house and follow God and put the, you know, the major pillars in is we chose prayer above all things. I mean, Ann really led this, kind of the charge of it. And, you know, we kind of said, and you can administrate anything, guys. You know that, if you can administrate stuff. But we weren't looking for administration. We're looking for something with life. So we gathered all the best people we know who love to pray and said, pray whatever you want, but come in. Will you be committed? And from there, we kind of grown. And we also felt that if you have prayer, then everything happens. Like, then you can build small groups. Then you can build administration. But if you can pray, then the fuel and the fire is moving. Amen? So it really changes us. I can't encourage you enough to get into prayer. And it, well, my group, which is shameless plug on Friday mornings at 6 o'clock, if it's too early for you, there's Kleenex in the corner, get over it, let's just go. You know what I mean? So, but we come in and pray, and it's simple stuff, but it's powerful. It's so, I can't get over how simple, simplicity is profound. And just everybody taking their turn, it's a really great group of guys. We just pray, and it's really, really powerful that we spend time and time a week at it, and we see answers to prayers, so really do. We can feel the authority going out of us when we pray over the church. We pray over, the you know, that the, every gathering is blessed, and it's just a good group of normal, ordinary guys, which is really, it begins and ends right there, doesn't it? So I encourage you, get a part of this prayer in your own personal life. Get ignited. If you're in a service, you're going to get ignited anyway. It's all about pushing and, in a good way, encouraging us to live this life that we get to have, not have to have. You know what I mean? So, for me, I like Pat. We said we both got saved in college. Just a bigger point of view on that. We watched God totally sweep through the colleges in the 70s. How many? Anybody a part of that right after the Jesus movement? Look at your faces. You're not. I'm talking about hundreds of kids on college campuses getting saved sovereignly. Like I said, we went Dickinson from like 15 different guys to and people to 125. I had a brother at Carnegie Mellon, another brother at Slippery Rock, another brother at Pitt. They went to up there and down in Carnegie Mellon. Pitt went to 400 strong. That's how big it was, just canvassing the campus. It was crazy. And people just, all we knew is to get saved and get filled with the Holy Spirit. Then we didn't know anything else. So we met, like at Dickinson, we met every night at 10 o'clock for a prayer meeting because in college, nothing starts till 11. You know what I mean? And that's actually where I met you, at a prayer meeting in Dreher Hall in Dickinson College, which was really fun. So, but we saw it sweep the country. And so kind of we were born again into this huge move of God and literally saw thousands. Penn State was 400 to 600 strong. That was going up. And Brian was part of that group. And they were preaching on the streets. They were hitting people over the head with their Bibles and getting them saved. It was crazy. So I know, got to keep going. All right. So, but anyway, that's all part of our makeup. And we really, you know, one of the things we pray is you experience the love of God and give it away. But in that, we believe we're hoping to sustain a move of God, be a part of. We're not the only game in town, but we sure love what we do. And our hope is that we are part of a sustained move of God that never ends. We're, you know, we're totally amazed by what happened in, what is it, the guy who did the outreach from Germany. Now my brain just went, from Herhut. No, not Reinhard Bunker. This is back in the old days. The move of God for the Mennonites, they had 100 years of prayer. It's amazing. Anyway, somebody knows this, don't you? Oh, somebody. No, look at your faces. The Moravians. Yeah, there you go. Thank you very much. Who was his name? Count Zinzendorf, you know. Stuff like that where they had 100 years of prayer and they had the largest missional movement in the world. So that kind of stuff makes us crazy happy. So we hope to keep doing the same thing right here, okay? So we pray everything happens. So. All right, well, listen, for those who don't know some of our history real briefly, we were in 13th Street, 951 South 13th Street, right in the hood between Hoover Homes and Hall Manor, and it was a crazy place. It was not for the weak-hearted when you came to our church at that time. So it's like we had our own car stolen. We had police online at the time. And we reached out. I want you to know we reached out regularly to Hall Manor. We had 150 students coming from there at one time on our Wednesday nights. So, but whenever we received an offering for missions, it was five times what what would happen for a local ministry. So we realized that in the house we were more world-viewed, and so as a result of that, we started looking for properties and trying to move on from there. And knowing that our time there, right on the edge of, it's right on right near the bypass, right there where David's Furniture used to be. Does anybody know that? Now it's the Asian Market that's over there. Great area, but we realized, well, we'll always keep a hand in outreach into the local missions, but we really feel compelled to do the large missions across the world. And then also we started doing conferences at that time, and just couldn't believe what a grace we had to do conferences that were nationally marked. People just came up from all over the Eastern Seaboard, almost all over the world. We started with Ken Henry, then we did Randy Clark, and so it just wouldn't, we could do 2-3 a year and just seemed to have, it kept us in a great flow, in a great energized place, and so we've continued on to here. So what I want to share with you just briefly is the property right here, and I'm not doing it to pat ourselves on the back, but it transformed us by acquiring a property for many different reasons, because there's faith in saying that God is going to build something, not he's going to show up tomorrow. Now, we live like he's going to show up tomorrow. Of course we do that, of course, in the urgent, and we trust him and believe how powerful he is. But at the same time, faith to build something for a long time, for 50 years, 100 years, is a different level of faith. And that God can put, he can meet you in brick and mortar. He can meet the provision that's there. So we reached out to this property. Anybody know this story at all? So, no? So a little bit, yeah. So if I mess it up, all right. Now, if I stretch it a little bit bigger than that, just let it alone. That's okay. So anyway. So we started looking for a property. And, of course, we marched around the old Wolf furniture store over here. And that was it. We marched around that property. We couldn't get a hold of the owner for a year. It was just like, forget it. It was like, but you know, we had to swing. And yes, he dropped a prophecy on us in October of 91 and said, you're going to see this vast property. You're going to see it from the highway. You know, it's going to be for the purpose of the little children, the purpose of counsel, you know. So Charles does this much better than I do. His impersonation, but Kim Clement was a wild, amazing guy. So you may hear a lot of things about him, but I have never met anybody as compassionate one-on-one with people, deep love for people. Now, he did like this whole flashy show that he did when he met in a group. Everybody in a Kim Clement meeting before? Kim Clement, oh my gosh, it was crazy. But deeply compassionate and deeply prophetic. So anyway, gave this word, and you know how these words, you get words, but they just went dropped in us. We couldn't let it go. So there's just, so everybody, we'd be meeting for coffee on Friday mornings. We know there's a property somewhere. Let's start looking. So, of course, we surrounded the Wolf property, and that didn't happen. We kept swinging a couple different properties. But when we landed, this property came up for sale in 99. It was part of the AMP Corporation. If maybe you guys remember this, I'm sure you guys remember the AMP Corporation if you're anywhere in Harrisburg. So they built this property from the ground up, actually honed it out. There was an old insurance building, and they took a year to rebuild this property in 95 to 96 and just dropped about $20 million into the property, just to let you know that. So, but they had a takeover, they had a hostile attempt, and they got bought out eventually in a friendly takeover by Tyco. Tyco put the property up, and 100 acres here pretty much was set out to be sold. We took an attempt at it in 99, and they just laughed us to scorn, like, you know, like, oh, it might be nice. But we couldn't get it out of our hearts. So we put this offer in and been rejected, and then the whole property went into what we call a real estate investment trust, a RIT, which our guy who we're working with, Bill Gladstone out of CIR, I may know him on the papers. He's a really wonderful guy. We said, Bill, is there any chance? He said, there's no chance. Once it goes into RIT, you will never get a chance of it. So it just disappears off the off the map. So we, you know, we kept praying and looking, and, you know, what happens, we used to meet on Friday mornings at 10 o'clock and just have what we call a blue sky session. That's where we just have coffee, don't talk about church, but we'd all talk about God. So that was really good. It was a really healthy thing to do, you know, because church is amazing. I know it, because you're here because of it, but, and so am I, and I love it, but God is a different subject than church. He's just the best. So we, in this blue sky meeting, we kind of had been months since we were told this is gone and not going to happen. We kind of confessed, like, well, I was up on the property the other day driving around. I was too. I stuck up, you know. When did you go up at 10 o'clock at night? I was just praying on the property. We would drive up here, and then Wackenhut was the security team. So I feel like we are like part of Animal House. Like, like, watch out for Wackenhut, you know. But we were sneaking on the property. So like 5 of us out of the 6 would snuck up on the property and been praying for a couple of months. So what's that? All right, well, I'll tell them about that anyway. So we had this like epiphany. Well, maybe we should look at the property again. So we came up, and we contacted Bill Gladstone, who told us, he actually said to me on the phone, you guys need to get a life. Like, you have to let go of this property. It'll never happen, John. I said, okay, look, Bill, just do me a favor. Just check in with him when you can and see if this property is available. So in the meantime, we've been working on our property on 951 South 13th Street, and we had re-sided it and fixed it all up and figured, you know, well, we're here. Let's remodel and fix it all up. So it's our third pass at totally wearing the building out and putting it back together. And then across the street with Shadler Brothers, who's right over across the highway down here, Shadler Electric and stuff like that. So they had been there 40 years, and they wanted to expand. So they had shown some interest, but not really came through. But for some reason, they walked across the street 2 weeks later and handed me a written letter with a check for a possible purchase of the property. So it was written offer with a check. It was like, it was real money with real stuff. So you wouldn't believe it. That night, Bill Gladstone calls me. John, you're not going to believe this. I said, Bill, oh, yes, I am. Amazing. So, of course, the rest is history. We pulled it together. We had an offer in. If we could have one in the next morning, it was a bona fide offer, and offered them $250,000. We dropped it on them. In a contract, which they thought they would suck up that $250,000, we'd never make it. We would never qualify. No bank would back us. Who would back a church? You know what I mean? Like, really. We had been working on a couple of different banks, community banks, and Commerce Bank at the time was interested in us, and they were willing to back us. So in 30 days, we did our due diligence, and we bought the property. It's like, it's a David and Goliath story to say it at least. And even the guy, Kurt Fox, I'll just use names and be honest because he's not in banking anymore, but in community banks got bought up, but he got called on the carpet for lending us the money on this deal because it was a national bank. They're like, what are you doing? But we did do our homework. Once you know, the whole church was profiled. Our finances were in order, compulated. And we had kept years of records. And so even the bank came to us and said, you're more documented than most businesses we work with. Because I want our business, I want our finances to, our friends to say, good job. I want our enemies to say, good job. You know, so that's kind of the way we ran it. And it was amazing. So when we came in here, I just wanted to tell you, Tyco treated us like we're the evil guys because they had a huge empire building. This building was honestly pulled permits for $20 million. The parking garage won awards. PPG did all the glass in the building. They won awards for it. The main lobby that you come into won awards for that. I mean, it was a really brilliant architectural thrust in the late 1990s. And so they're in books with awards everywhere. This building was built as their expatriate building. In other words, they had a headquarters up called the Taj Mahal up on Techport Avenue. But this is one that they were in 52 different countries in the world. And this is where they did all of their video monitoring, video conferencing, and stuff like that. So this building was live 24/7 because people actually had to come to a gather to a place and do, like, connect with China at a 11-hour different time. So the building was constantly being used. And we stepped onto it. I can still remember Brian and Charles stepped onto that little brass world thing when they came into the building. First time they stepped on it, and they both looked at each other and said, this is it, we'll take it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, this is going to work out. Yeah. No problem, guys. Yeah, why don't we just go ahead and dream? So they were real. They could feel it in their hearts, and they just couldn't get it out of their hearts. And so it just has been amazing. Even a week before we settled, I have to tell you, there's 100 different amazing things that happened. But Kurt Neunemaker came. I don't know if you know Kurt, you'll see him today, but he came as a young man, and everything in the building, because we were kind of the enemy, they took all the manuals and threw them into the dumpsters. And so there's no way to run the lights, the sound, the video equipment. Everything was like, we had to learn. So Kurt was one of those guys, he would download the VIN number off the equipment and go on the internet and download the manuals. It's like Kurt was helping us so much, I said, Kurt, I have to hire you. I can't like not have you around. So in the middle of this, right before we settled, a week before, he had hired a guy to come in and help with some video equipment, making the connections, and the guy walked in and said, he'd been here about an hour and said, man, there's a lot of stuff missing. I went, what? You know, he said, there's a lot of stuff that's proprietary to the building that I installed when I was here, and it's gone, you know. And I said, do you have a list? Because I have files and everything. I was like, oh, my gosh. How does this stuff get dropped in your lap like that? Seriously. I have to tell you, we prayed all the time coming in here. When we made this thrust in this property, just to do a little back on it, we spent weeks praying, walking up to this. In other words, we called all our prayer leaders. We prayed at night. We prayed during the day. To be honest with you, we prayed so much it changed the way we lived. That prayer became not just one avenue. It became the avenue. And I remember praying our brains, our hearts out every day for months. I know. What's that? What are you laughing about? Yeah. Oh, that's right. I can't forget that. So, all right. Remind me in just a second. So I'm telling you all this because it just changes you. Because faith and working together with God, that when you go through something like that, that's that traumatic and that powerful. And that David and Goliath, it's like, God, you can do anything. Yeah, and I mean, and I hope we wear this building out and fix it up all the time. And we are, absolutely. Trust me. We're wearing it out and fixing it up all the time, which is great. That's why we have it. But it's, so it's not the building, but it's the experience. And I do believe there is holy ground as you consecrate ourselves and chase ourselves toward God. And so anyway, where was I? So anyway, so this guy told me, like, there's 80 grand, almost 80 grand worth of stuff that's been kind of stolen out of the building. So I called this guy, I won't say his name, but anyways, he's the attorney for the deal. And I said, we're not settling until here's a list of the things that belong to the building. We won't settle until this is all returned. Well, he turned into a sailor. I'm sorry you feel that way. So we delayed a $3.7 million deal a week until that stuff was all returned. But that's just one of the examples that we ran into as we prayed our hearts out, and we had no ability to do this. I have to tell you, you know, to do a due diligence 30 days for a building like this is insanity. It should have been 90 days, but we made it through. We got a bank to back us. Even in the middle of it, one of the banks backed out, and I told him, look, don't back out. Just give me a letter of interest just to keep everybody involved. And I can still remember talking to the president of Commerce. He goes, okay. Who is this? Who am I? What am I doing? You know what I mean? But it's those kind of things that just happen. So one night we did sneak up. We were really toward the end, and we hadn't closed the deal. And Charles is just as much a part of this and Ann as anybody else because they came up with us. All the elders, we snuck up in our cars and parked them to the side so we were trying to avoid whack-a-mud. You know what I mean? And we got these stakes, these wooden stakes. Charles put them together. He got them. They were like two by fours, but they're short. And he had put the written scriptures that God had given us since Kim Clement had given us these words. We had several scriptures about a property and that God was going to do this. So we wrote them on, and we were sneaking. I swear to God, it was 10 o'clock at night. We were sneaking around the properties, and we drove the stakes into all four corners of the property and into points in between. And I still remember he had a mallet. We had a couple of mallets. I remember we were running around going, where's Wackenhut? And it was what, July or something like that? It was crazy. So I remember so we drove all the stakes in, and within a week, I think we had sealed the deal on the property. It was an amazing kind of thing. So I'm confessing on my craziness to you. Yeah, the first month, the bill, the electric bill, $16,000. I ran through the building saying, turn it off! Turn it off! Oh my gosh. I think our total gross income before we came in with that was about $58,000 a month. And 16 of us going for electricity. I was like, oh my God. So, but we sustained a 39% growth the first month, 24% growth every month after that, and every year after that for about 5 or 6 years. It was stunning. We just grew. God, people came. It was amazing. Our first meeting here when we had settled but hadn't inhabited the building, a gal got completely healed of fibromyalgia that had tormented her life for years. But we didn't know anything except to come in and just come and pray. Well, we have access to the building. Let's go pray. We had a prayer meeting, and she got healed in the middle of it. Wasn't even looking to get healed. Wasn't even praying for healing. She's like, I have no pain, none at all. So it was stunning. Linda Arvey, still connected to us. And so that's how we've kind of worked from the beginning. All right, so you're in a very special place. I do believe that. You know, God inhabits brick and mortar. I think he does. You know, it's holy because we value it, you know. But it's not an idol. I want you to know that at the same time. We want to use it, wear it out, and fix it back up again and expand it. So the vision here is not only for the 15 and a half acres here, but also who knows what God could do surrounding us. Could we acquire those properties? What will God do as he builds? Charles, really, I remember we were laying on the floor in 94 and just working through the seasons where people left and can't, you know, we got down from 800 to a Gideon's army at one point when we switched over our leadership and got to the point where, like, Charles, Brian, and I said, well, if we end up in a living room with each other, we're good with that. You know what I mean? We knew that was our assignment, not necessarily, and Pat said some of our friends left. That was all right. They were really good people. We also learned not to judge or be weird about that. Like, God has assignments for everybody. Let's just do our assignment, and he'll do the rest. But in this, God really spoke a word to Charles, and he said, unless I build the house, you labor in vain who built it. And it changed our sweat equity. Do you know what I mean? In kind of sense, rather than sweating it on our abilities, it's only going to be built on God's ability. And that sustains till now. Even the things he still asks us to do, we're like, wow, okay, we'll make a shot at it, but God, it's up to you. So you're joining that, okay? Very important. So We're at 9:45. Is that right? So we'll stop here, and I'll pick up some things I'm going to share with you later on in your booklet. But we have a great group of staff that we're going to continue to introduce you to. So who wants to go first? Do we have a set on this schedule? Or Mike Humphrey comes to us, who's brilliant. Come on, introduce yourself, and I'll let these guys, and then I'll brag on them later. Okay? There you go, Mike.
Thanks. I just got voluntold to go first. You know about that? Stick around. You'll get voluntold for things. Well, good morning. How you guys doing? How's it been? Good. How many of you were at the first one? Most of you, almost all of you. And a few just showed up for the first time today, right? Is that right? Good, good. I'm so glad you guys are here. Okay, so I'll tell you about me. I have notes. There are literally five things to remember. I still have notes because I need it bad. I need it bad. Oh, look at that. Oh, good. Oh, I didn't even know that. That's wonderful. That's them. That's us. That one's me. That guy. And then this is my wife, Liz. Many of you probably know her. She leads a lot. She sings a lot. This is Cademan. Cademan is 9 years old. He's 9 going on 16. You know about that? Yeah, so he wants to be 16. We're working on it. He's a good guy. He's a really good guy. He's deep. He's quiet. He's really analytical, but he's a really natural leader. So people are all, everywhere we go, all the young people kind of like follow him, and he doesn't really know what to do about it. He's like, well, I'm just watching. And they're like, but what do we do? So that's Cademan. That's him. This is Hadassah. I don't want to step on this laptop. I'm so afraid. This is it yours? I cannot do that. This whole thing, not just this meeting, this whole church runs on Amelia's laptop. if I step on this, that's sabotage right there. I don't want to do that. Okay, so this is Hadassah. Look at I'm already taking. I had my notes. I should have stuck to my notes. Hadassah is 5. She's our middle. She's the most like me, I think. We call her Dessa for short. She's really interesting, too. She's like really quiet, but everywhere she goes, people are like, hi, Hadassah. People we don't know are like, hi, Hadassah. And she knows their names. She's like, hi, Mr. John. You know, I'm like, hey, good to meet you, Mr. John. You know, so that's her. This is Justice. Justice is 3. She has no idea that she's the youngest. Nobody told her. She's sure she's in charge. She is in charge. That's the other. The problem is that she's right. We don't know how to tell her because she's right. So she's in charge. She is also in preschool. So sometimes when you're in preschool, you're in charge. Okay, so I'm supposed to say a few other things. So I grew up in upstate New York. The long story short is that the Lord led us here. Lots and lots of wonderful signs and interactions along the way. In spite of my tremendous resistance, Patty and John knew the whole time, and John was real subtle about it. Patty was like, what are you doing? They did a great job. So we now live just over that ridge, the furthest ridge you can see, Fishing Creek Valley Road. So we kind of live halfway in the country where I grew up and close to cities, so we can get everywhere quickly. But what else am I supposed to say? We were born, both of us were raised by believers. Liz was raised by jazz musicians who got saved through encounters with Jesus. And we'll see, there I go, just like that, the John Leach anointing. And I was raised by hippies who got saved through encounters with Jesus. So we both have a real strong thing for walking with Jesus because it's a part of our testimony. And then the very short version of what I do here is I'm over the small group leaders. And so we, at this point, we've got like 40-something small groups that are running. And they kind of facilitate a lot of the natural interaction through the church, so people's living rooms and all that sort of thing. We do conferences really well here, and we have a really strong emphasis on personal walk, and that sort of is the middle ground. So, okay. Yeah, and there's a new website that Amelia, along with a couple of others, have very skillfully designed on that very laptop, in all likelihood, that will make it really easy for people to get plugged into those small groups. So you'll be hearing about that probably next week. So, okay? Good to meet you guys. Do I have to choose who's next? Oh, I was hoping I got to choose. I would have probably chosen Matt.
Hey, how's it going, guys? My name is Matt Leach. I grew up here. This is my gorgeous wife, Madison. We just got married about 4 months ago. We actually just moved here 4 months ago from Pittsburgh. So I originally grew up here in this area. My parents are Brian and Marcy, who did week one, so some of you guys know them. But originally grew up in the church, got saved, you know, early age, but really grabbed hold of my own faith probably when I was in Pittsburgh the last 7-8 years. So that was when I was really on my own out there, kind of making my own life for myself. Met Madison out there. She's originally from the Johnstown area, for some of you who know that. But yeah, we met at an awesome church out there. We also know Justin and Rebecca, who are originally just moved from there, so from that same church. And I got hired about 4 months ago to kind of explore the online community here. So I'm officially the online pastor, and we're basically making that and exploring that to this day. So we're figuring out where people are tuning in from. Is it more regionally? Is it more locally? Is it kind of spread out worldwide? What does that look like? And then also we're currently forming, and still gonna, I think, always be forming, how do we engage our online audience more than just a Sunday live stream or more than a Wednesday live stream? So what does that look like? How can we give people, you know, an online class or discipleship class? You guys may have heard of that from Patty or John that we're in the works with. But that's basically a lot of my ministry and my role here currently. We also, my wife and I also have a big heart and passion for college age and young adults. So we would love to kind of explore that area more and really pastor people in that age range. So that's quick tidbits on us and about me. So that's it. Yes, we're meeting kind of every other week, twice a month. We also have, for people who are interested in really kind of praying for that area, is Tuesday nights from 7 to 8 p.m. in the prayer room that's out in the old lobby right there. So from 7 to 8 p.m., we have young adults who just pray for that generation and that age group. And then along with that, every other week, as John just mentioned, we're meeting, and it's more of just community-based. So this, just a couple nights ago, we had a bowling night out where we just want to create a space where people are meeting and gathering and meeting other young adults. So really have a heart for that, and we'd love to create a community for that. So that's it. Who wants next? Dira? Edgar? You guys got it.
Good morning. We were hoping to be the last because I told them, I'm going to see what you're doing, and then I'll copy. So we are Edgar and Jadira Kastinen, and this is our family here. Well, I told Amelia, crop it, because we were at the beach, so the girls were showing their bellies. So that's why. So this is Daniela. She's 21. She's a senior at the University of New Haven, health science. This is Andrea. She's a sophomore at West Virginia Global Studies. And this is my youngest, Caleb. He's a senior at Central Dauphin. And we're still wondering where he's going to go to college. Yay! So, and we are originally from Guatemala. We came to the States in 2002 as missionaries to plant a church in Bethlehem. But in 2010, God led us here to Harrisburg, and we didn't know what we were going to do, and we were asking God for guidance. We thought we were going to come to this church just in the meantime to see what God was going to say, and we came with our kids. We woke them up at 6 o'clock in the morning because at that time, the service started at 8:30, and we came at the first service, and we walk in the sanctuary, the five of us, like, we just live in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, so it was an hour and a 30 minutes a drive, and we came, we stepped in the sanctuary, we look at each other, and we said, this is home. So since that first June, Sunday of June of 2010, we have been here at Life Center, and we commuted for 2 years, and in 2012, we finally moved, and I started here working here at Life Center in 2014. I'm the business manager, and what I do is I make sure the electricity is paid. the people is paid. I take payroll and all things. They make sure that you get your statement so you can file your taxes. And we also pastor the Spanish congregation here at Life Center.
My name is Edgar. I have only 3 kids, no more. This kitchen is closed, okay? I am I am an outreach pastor here in Life Center. I am in Life Center in Español also. We have a good congregation. It's at 2 o'clock. May I say something about the... Okay, sounds good. In 2019, we gave away maybe 10,000 pounds... No, 10 million pounds of food giveaway, free. The most is organic. Last year, we facilitated 34 million pounds of food. It's almost $62 million. Dollars. It's good. We have 350 local pastors in all East Coast, and we transform the communities. We touching last year 3.5 million people. We impacting families and transform the communities. We do a lot of things here among us. So thank you, John, for your support, you know, and Charles for believing in us. This is a good congregation and good family. For me, was very important because the leadership that in this house, Charles, John, and Brian, they have almost 20 or 35 years to be together. For me, it's very important to have a solid family here. And very, very strong families here, and I like that. That's it.
And I realized I didn't answer one question. It was, I was saved when I was 15 through the charismatic movement in the Catholic Church. And then, so that's how I was saved.
Yes. I mean, sure. See, we have a Life Seeds website. We have different programs in LifeSeeds.org. We have a local mission, a national mission, international missions. We gave away everything. That you have donations. We have this anointing, the grace and favor. The people give us thousands of things. For example, last year they gave me 40,000 teddy bears of my size. It's insane. But one thing is to have this anointing, and the another is administrate that anointing. You understand me? We give away to specific people and leaders in the community. Thank you.
This is a picture of myself and my husband, Jim, and we're actually in Paris in this picture. It was my husband's 60th birthday, and I have been at Life Center since 1988. Wow, I know, I was 2 years old at the time, and no, all of that. For me, I had my first encounter with Jesus when I was 5 years old in the Methodist Church. But there was no place to really put it. And I really wasn't taught that it was okay to have a personal relationship with the Lord. So I grew up most of my life thinking that he was someone really far off and I had to be absolutely perfect if I was going to receive his love. Well, then I strayed away from the Lord in my teens, and I was about 27, 28. My grandmother called me one day and she said, "I'm really worried that you're not going to get to heaven. Please tell me that you're going to church." So I lied and said, "Sure, Graham, I go to church." But I didn't know that that was going to open an encounter for me with the Lord that would change my life forever. And once I had an encounter with his love, I ran into an old friend who we all know, Nancy Boyer. And she was coming to church at Life Center, and she brought me here. And this was 1988, right around the time Charles and Ann came. And they were crazy people. They were having so much fun. They were dancing up and down, and the power of the Lord, the worship. So I didn't come back for a little while, but I couldn't get it out of my heart. And before I knew it, I became kind of a fixture around here. I serve here at Life Center as the director of Healing the Heart Ministry, which is an inner healing, counseling, getting connected to Jesus ministry. It has all kinds of titles, but what we passionately believe as a team is that God wants us to be whole and free. And I don't know about you, but I haven't met a perfect person yet, and I'm a poster child for what inner healing can do and how God can transform everything in your life into his glory. And even at 62, I'm still seeing him bring promises to pass in my life that I never thought possible because of getting rid of those roadblocks, because of learning who he is, connecting to him, And that's what inner healing and does. Healing and wholeness result as God allows us to complete the work he began in us. We have an incredible team of ministers here who minister to adults, to couples, to teenagers, to children. And when I say children, I mean preborn to 13, and families. We offer courses in boundaries, conflict and trauma resolution, and also parenting. Our founder, Linda Forrester, created a inner healing class called Love to Life, and you'll be seeing advertisements for that come up, but it's a wonderful way to go into in-depth training on inner healing. In 2020, we did, even in a COVID year, 1,938 appointments. And we're online after two quarters this year. We're already at 1,383. And of those, I just wanted to share that it's well over 100 teenagers, well over 100 children. And so we are a ministry that really is dedicated to helping people get into their destiny and the fullness of God. In your packet is a card that tells you all about us and reviews some of the things that we talked about today and how to get in touch with us. And please feel free to reach out if you have any questions. We would be delighted to talk with you.
So my name is Kurt Nunemaker, and oh, did he? All right. My, I don't know if there's a family picture or not, but my couple shots here. My wife Kimberly of 23 years. There's Madison who's 17, Josephine who is 15, and then Samuel who's 11. We're in the thick of it right now with all. I mean, there's saxophone lessons, soccer games, field hockey, college visits, dual enrollment at HAC. I mean, it's just crazy, you know. We're really trying to soak it all in, because in a few short years there, you know, could be some quietness in our house. But a couple Fridays ago, I drove home from here and drove up to our house, and I saw like close to a dozen bikes in the front yard, scooters, skateboards, a hockey net. And I was like, should I just drive right on by and just, you know? But it's impossible. That my street's a cul-de-sac, so I would have had to round around and go in front of everyone a second time and just give up, you know. So I came to Life Center in the summer of 86, so quite some time ago. My family were... they didn't know at the time, but they started to church shop, because we came into a situation at the church that they were attending, and the faculty gave indications that they wouldn't the pastors of that church weren't going to pray and fight for a healing for a family that was going through something. And my parents are like, oh, if we ever went through something like that, we need to have, you know, backing from pastors. And so that got them church shopping, and we landed here and found this great place. So that's, you know, that's a little history there. But we got saved as a family, all five of us. I have two brothers, one younger, one older, and my parents all got saved at one time, one altar call. We all stood up at the same time and kind of opened our eyes and looked around like, oh, everyone is standing, you know. So it was pretty crazy. My parents were professional drinkers. They were really good at it, like D1 athletes, really, really good at it. When they got saved, went cold turkey on the alcohol, but it took them a little while to figure out that smoking wasn't really good for their bodies. It was kind of a funny story. They would have Bible lessons or study groups at their house and just puffing away until they got to the scripture that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and they're like, oh, Holy Ghost probably doesn't want smoke in our body, so they just stopped that too. It's just you know, funny stuff. So my wife and I, we met here at Life Center, coming up through the youth group. But my role here, I manage the tech along with a bunch of other people. But I manage the video team for live events, and then all the infrastructure of the building, all the Wi-Fi and phones and that stuff. So here at Life Center, if we do a really good job of taking what happens here and recording it, broadcasting it out to the interwebs and making sure that the environment here in the building is really good, I feel like we've done a really good job, because there's just an army of people scurrying around, taking care of stuff and doing stuff, and you probably don't really notice all the stuff that goes on. There's about 20-some people that run just the tech, just for the sanctuary, and then there's more people that run in other rooms, but hopefully you don't notice those folks ever, but we just do a really good job of taking care of tech, you know. I think that's it.
Oh, Rick. Thank you, sir. Hi, everyone. My name is Rick Pickens, and I recognize you. Heather.
Yeah.
Okay. Instagram, I think.
Oh.
Honestly. Hi there. Sorry about that. That was just shocking. Yes. Okay. Isn't that odd? I'd see your face all the time. But now about me. Not so prominent on Instagram, I guess. Rick Pickens and my wife, Jolene Pickens. We've been married for 37 years. Kurt, I want to tell you something. It doesn't get quieter around the house when folks leave. There's more happening at our house. Our children are adults. My oldest daughter, Morgan, and her husband, Ben, the Vaughns, they have two wonderful sons, Leland and, not Atticus, sorry, Leland and Caleb. My youngest daughter has a son with her husband, Jeremiah, the Franklins. His name is Atticus. My middle daughter, her name is Molly. Does anyone know Molly Pickens in here? Okay, I'm Molly's dad, for those of you who didn't know. Okay, so anyway, it's great. I'll tell you, so we got here in 1999 for the first time, traveling through, experienced what was going on here, I'm sure just like you did, and it was like, wow, we were traveling from Texas, we lived in Texas. We went back, all we could talk about was what happened here, and eventually we moved here in 2001. And in 2003, we came on staff. I was saved, I think, when I was 8 years old, because my grandmother, Janie Sandy, took me to church, made sure I was in church every Sunday morning. My mom was so busy raising my brother and I by herself, working. She didn't have time to, but my grandmother was faithful to get me in church, went to a church camp when I was 8. And something emotional happened to me. No one else was emotional. I was very emotional. I didn't change my life, though, so it's a little bit, did I get saved? I don't know, but it started a conversation with Jesus. And when I was 16, then I made a decision. Boom, we're going for this. And so that's what that's been here, what I do. I feel sometimes it's confusing to me what I do, but I think what I do here is I am a minister of happiness here. Not always successful. It's not 100% of the time. It's in waves. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I'm also what I do is I help a lot of the speakers get their, not their notes ready, but the things they need presented ready. And it looks different, and there's a lot of people working on that team to make sure the right scriptures are up at the right times. Once again, it's never 100%, but we're doing what we can to help. And as far as the I don't know what the yearly flow of that looks like, but week to week it feels very different every week and the same. You know, there's always surprises, right? So we just embrace those surprises. I am so glad you all are part of this, hearing the stories. It's just as fresh to me now as it was the first time I heard. I love being a part of this community, of this team. It's like one of the high points of my life. So I'm glad you're here. Thank you. Do I just take this microphone back? Oh, you got it.
Everybody stand up just real quick. Just take a big breather here. I'm going to jump into your booklet in a second. And as you're doing, I just want to tell you, you are just hitting the tip of the iceberg of every one of these folks that are here. I know Kurt's parents. I know Yadir and Edgar. What an anointing on his life. Just to let you know, I never met anybody that people just give stuff to. It's crazy. So he's gotten televisions, like 100 televisions. You know what I mean? Things like that happens all the time. So just stretch. That's all good. Tell somebody, greet somebody beside you. Just say, acknowledge their presence and say, nice to have you. Okay, you can grab a seat here. So. So if you got your booklet, open up to where it says around here and our organization. We're going to just tag this a little bit, tag our beliefs a little bit, and so good. Brian and Marcy did a great job, I'm sure, last week sharing with you about what's important around here. Just a note about that. I mean, we're not trying to be clever. We're not trying to be tricky. We're not trying to be, be cool. Let's say this. This list of around here, like we believe in miracles, honor the Holy Spirit, I hope Brian shared with you. But this came after a real season of kind of just a time where we said, okay, God, we're going to recharge. What's really important to us, and what do we really care about? What has been consistently here? And did Brian cover this last week with you, what's around here part? Say yes. Speak to me, okay? So it really came out of a time almost, I tell you, it was a Holy Spirit time. We had always had this logo that, experience the love of God and give it away, and for like 15 years it was there. And then we actually had Jolene and the Joaquin group come in and kind of help us. How do we just want to reorganize and kind of mine out what's really deep in us? And so we went through about 9 weeks of going through this, about 9 or 10 of us. Okay, let's just start from the scratch. Let's just go back. Is that our most important thing? Yes, it is. So experiencing God and the presence-driven community was really there. But what else is really important? So this came at it almost, this list of important things came out of our very hearts, out of drilling down and finding out, in a most God way, I can explain it. We were around a room just making a list. And when we landed on these, we started telling stories about what God had done over the years, different testimonies of the prophetic movement or this or that. And these are a result of what is real among us. I want to know that. I want you to know that. And if you're in a group, if you're or an organizer or administrator, if you have a group of A-type personalities, the first thing they do is go to all the things that are wrong and you're trying to fix stuff. This was a wonderful journey into what is really right and what we love around here. And almost every one of these, we could barely talk because we remembered the stories that have been real among us, like just choked up with God and how he gave a prophetic word to Anne, who didn't even know who this woman was, and described it to him. And she gave this word to this woman right before she had a massive crisis with her daughter who was pregnant out of wedlock. And it was just those kind of things just absolutely make us come alive. So I want you to know, we love excellence, we love administrating, we love putting things together, and we believe in that, but it all is supportive of what the real thing is, the encounter with God. And we don't forget that. I want you to know that. So just get a bunch of A-type personalities to really talk about their hearts and their feelings and what God is doing among us, remembering those testimonies. That's a move of God, isn't it? So we were messed up during that time, weren't we, Pat? So these can come out of it. So how do we do things around here? So the organization, this is really simple. We have 5 major pillars. But, of course, in each one of those 5, there's other subcategories that are part of it. Like when you have right there, encounters, the great commandment, that is prayer, life, and worship. But that's just 2 little notes there. But prayer, life, and worship are amazing around here. They're like living, breathing, 4-lane highways around here, okay? So we know that prayer is just so, so important for the fuel. And we try and do the administration, but also the living connection. So if you have a heart for prayer for some specific area, share with Pat, and we'll give a schedule and get a team with you guys to do it. But it comes out of the passion in your heart, not of just picking things that we should be praying about, okay? So it's all the time, everywhere. Before we do any meeting, before we lead into anything, we always pray. It's just the way it is. We gathered this morning at 7:45 just to pray for the service this morning, probably 12 of us. And just want our hearts to run. Like, just, God, do what you want. We set up a system, but override the system. Take over. So, okay. So enough about that. So, and then, of course, worship has been constantly been developed here. I just think it's amazing. Ever since I've been here, since 85, it's been a prayer and worship have been a gift to the church. I wish we could say we're amazing, we're the ones that do it all, but we just ride the wave with God, and certainly David and the whole team really work at this, but it's a gift to the church. Worship has always been foundational, so it just has been one of the major highways that God connects with us here and being present. So we're doing everything we can with it, absolutely, because love compels, not because we're trying to control, but we're trying to do. David is brilliant in his craft, all of them, Nathan, Tiffany, John. They work every bit of technology that they can in this, and it's just always done better. And it just is amazing. So that's the first area, encounters, and we have equipping, which is really the pastoral part of the church, just letting you know. So everything from Sunday and Wednesday services to life groups, you know, all the church connect, any relational parts, men's and women's ministries are all part of this. And what I didn't get listed there, and I don't see it listed anywhere, is counseling, the part that Sherry does and Linda Forrester, the inner healing counseling. So just a note on that, it's great stuff. A lot of things are internal organs that we don't make a big flash about on the outside, but they're constantly working among us. And that group that she has of 8 or 9 counselors, they really make a difference for people finding the way back to health and wholeness in their lives. Is inner healing for everybody? No. But it sure is really good to check into it and do an inventory on it. And so we're not shoving it down anybody's throats in a sense, but we are encouraging people, check it out, check yourself out. You go for physical checks up with doctors. Why can't we go for spiritual checkups? Oh, that's a good idea. All right. Anyway, it's good stuff. So that's the pastoral side. The environment is certainly the physical building, which we believe is very powerful and holy. And one of the things when we grabbed this property, could we maintain it? Could we keep the excellence that was done with AMP Corporation? And we really felt that was really important. So we've applied ourselves to that. Absolutely. And that's a whole team. Kevin Oakley, the big, tall, we call him Big Country. Did you ever see him? He kind of runs the whole facility. His strength finder is Achiever on the top, which is so good that he has that, because he loves to check off the boxes to make sure the place is running. So we also have a guy come in and just check our kind of the whole way the facilities is run, any updates on the HVAC and everything like that. He comes in once or twice a year just to kind of give an overview of, are we doing things well. So it's a constant ebb and flow of making sure the property works. Within that also environment is tech, which is a huge part of what we do here. It's just one of the things we've been always gifted at, and you can see out of that whole group, like Rick Pickens, Kurt, Brent Ulrich, just a whole team that run the tech, and it runs the whole building. We've always had an affinity for it to move forward, and just recently the whole casting out where people can watch from homes, the whole online thing, we probably have 3 or 4 small groups that watch from home. We have a group out in Austria that watches. We have a group in Boca Raton that watches, so it's really fun. So we're learning. Have we done this before? No. How are we doing it? Trial and error. Tell us that this works. What helps? Show us what to do. But we have a group that just loves to get better shots. We invest in cameras. One thing I do, it's like doing the floors in your house. If you do all the hardwoods, then you refinish them all, then you get to cover them with other carpets afterwards. You get to do this twice. It's so fun, isn't it? Tech is like that. You get all the equipment in, then you have to hire people to take care of it. It's like, oh, great. This is so fun. But it keeps you out of the time warp, right? And churches can get in time warps very quickly, you know, because this is the way we've always done it. So this crew, they aren't impressed with what we did last year. They want to do something different this year. So I'm the one who loves we just always did it this way. The deal is 70% of the population doesn't like change. Isn't that amazing? I have my coffee at 9, don't bother me. You know what I mean? So I am part of that. Well, I have to have some representative on staff because the rest are all change agents. I'm one of those people like, hey, we just got camp set up. Please, let's not move, okay? But they're like moving. I remember in 2003, 2004, we had just built we were building the sanctuary, and we started a ministry school. And Brian and Charles were the lead group of that, and they were just charging ahead. And I did say to them, if you start one more thing, I'm going to send a box of 50s after you. I'm going to kill you. So they're all about change, but it's wonderful, and that keeps us fresh. And this crew is all about that. But I want you to know in that, there's big parts into each one of these sections, in more than one or two. So engaging is certainly the outward thrust of the church. It's the Clear River Network, which we have a really loose group of about 300 to 400 churches and ministries that are connected to us. It's really one of the things we do in a conference. We'll pull together and have dinner and spend time relating to them. So it's really kind of an encouragement. They come to hear, to see if we can help in any way. And then we come really to kind of house a chance for them to connect with each other. We found a lot of people that are connecting to us. There's a whole group in New Jersey, Upper State, New York, a whole group in Ohio that love the way we do conferences and love the way we do the kingdom and organize and stuff like that. But we're happy when they connect, so we just get the chance to do that. So we're not looking to empire build or do anything like that. So there is a, you can join it if you're an individual minister or if you're in ministry. We welcome to have you be a part of it just for encouragement to keep us out of churchcraft and into connecting with God. That's a good plan, all right? And then lastly, there's the executing part, which is the administrative. Again, it looks like a small group, but it's huge. And but back to caging, I just want to say there's lifelines. There's that's an outward thrust, ministry schools, conferences. We consider all those outward thrusts that serve the community around us, from national conferences to just local things as well. So, and Edgar really heads up the local outreach thrust. So he does feed people like crazy. They get food out to ministries from Lehigh Valley to New York City to Baltimore. It's amazing. The guy's just stunning. And he's got a bunch of Latino churches that love connecting to him. And they're amazing. Talk about warm and friendly, and they're crushing it. They have great churches. They come to us and help us. I'm like, help us. Help. You help me. They're amazing. So, but he's got a great reach. He really does. And it's a supernatural. Each one of the folks here are just brilliant in their own right. So they're very, very humble about that. So lastly, like I said, executing is the administrative part. Marcy heads that up. Marcy Leach is the kind of the champion. Each one of these sections, we have a champion. Encounters would be David. Equipping would be me. Environment would be Brian really runs that with Kevin. He just says, Brian just always looks at the building and checks it out. Engaging is Charles and Chandi. And then executing is Marcy. How am I doing, Pat? We okay? So Marcy is a whiz in administration. I think the core with her, Don Locke, and Amelia have just an amazing team. And then they've got some others that have joined in. It's really quite good. So, okay. How am I doing? We're doing okay. We have about 7 minutes. So, questions on organization so far. This is how we organize. Kinda. So five main pillars, but lots of them. And we cross over. Like, just to let you know, like, even though I head up and champion the equipping, I'm still very much involved in the finance with the administration. So we support the champion there, but we also run our own areas, okay? That makes sense? I hope this makes sense to you. Okay. Flip the page. Our beliefs, I'm not going to do all of these. Honestly, I'm not. Because they're foundational to our beliefs. I mean, they're foundational to almost any Christian. They really, we have so much common ground. And, you know, we're inclusive. We don't think, like, we're better than anybody else. We just love what we do. Is that okay to say that way? So we're a big believer in the Catholic Church, big believer in the mainline denominational churches. We're praying that God overwhelms them and crushes them with his Holy Spirit in the best of ways. And they've carried the faith for 100 years and Catholic Church for a bazillion years. You know, we have huge respect for all that and feel there's a lot of common ground. The divisions between us, they're just like different personalities. It says we're to be united in faith, not in doctrine. So get over your doctrine. I mean, doctrine's great. Love it. Enjoy it. It's our personality, the way we do things. But the faith, the foundation part is, man, if I can't get along with the On Fire Baptists, there's something wrong with me. Seriously. On Fire Baptists are amazing, aren't they? Like, my gosh. Seriously. And Catholics, Charles is a big study of the Catholic Church. I don't know if you know it. He's actually met with the Pope. He actually had a meeting with a group of charismatic pastors. He had a chance to meet with them. Huge study of the Catholic Church, how they've kept the sacredness of marriage, the sanctity of life. There's a lot of great things that they have kept for the whole body of Christ. It's amazing. So I don't know why I'm saying that, but I'm just saying it to share that this is our posture in our heart here. So I don't know where you came from. You may be Mennonite background, and you could be Catholic background. You could be Word of Faith background. It's what's crazy coming here is there's room for everybody. So we've learned as a staff to reach across, and even though we don't always agree with each other, we walk together in faith. Isn't that a good thing? I think that actually creates an umbrella or an environment that you can walk in and feel accepted and still be able to develop on your own rather than you have to be a cookie-cutter Christian. This is the way it is, or get out. It's just so crazy. The way that Linda Forster ministers and shares about marriage is different the way I do it. Although the foundations are the same, the different ways we, the different inferences are important things. We're allowed to disagree on, and we feel we complete each other rather than compete with each other when we do that. So it creates a great atmosphere. So is there tension as a Christian? All the time. Like, and it's crazy to think we should all agree, because, you know, the Kennedys sitting here, they've been married for, what, a bazillion years? Do you agree about everything? Absolutely not. Oh, everything. Yeah, I was saying this the other day. I grew up, you know. I agree, when I married Pat, I wouldn't run her life, and I wouldn't run my life. Yeah, so. I'm just kidding. I'm saying that. But it's crazy to think we can't walk alongside and not always agree on stuff, but we can. We can disagree, but that's a healthy thing. Learning to love each other well is real important. It really is important. And it creates an atmosphere and a culture that people feel free when they come in. So hopefully we won't mess this up next week, but we're hoping to keep it going, okay? And you're part of that as you come in here. So remember, I mean, certainly you're here for healing, to get strengthened and blessed. But if you're sitting around going, well, they ought to do this, you're probably the answer to that question. So come and help us do it, all right? We'll give you the keys and let you drive. Let's go. You know what I mean? So I really mean that. That's how we pull together. So don't let the enemy try and divide us. It's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous, okay? We get to do this, get together, get to pull together, get to be different, get to celebrate our differences. And diversity is our strength, so. So pray along with it. Like Pat said, we want to reflect the body of Christ. So that's very important. So this world is trying to categorize and trying to divide. It's just, really? And we can't believe we can't love someone we don't agree with. Yes, we can. We can give our life to them and not agree with them. And the world cannot understand that. But we have to practice it here. And if we learn to love well, the whole world will show up at our door to watch it. That's amazing. Seriously. And we will fail at this. Look at someone and say, you're going to fail so badly. Tell them that. But God's good. He forgives you. Isn't that good? What am I missing, Pat? The list of our beliefs, pretty foundational on everything. Areas, probably the things that you'll hear push is to get on that second page. We believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to moving those from healing to all kinds of things. Look, I just want to take the gloves off and say, look, you know, if we pray for healing, if you pray for someone one way and they don't get healed, stand on your foot, stand on your head and pray for them. What do I care? Let's get them healed. You know what I mean? If they need Prozac to make it through, let them get Prozac to make them through and pray for them. Is that okay? We're just like, and Charles and Ann came from California, they didn't think, well, they were like, isn't everybody on Prozac? Which made me laugh. They had no stigma and stuff like this. We get so weird about our stigmas, don't we? No, won't take that medicine. Take it. Get healed. God wants you healed. Seriously, if we believe in the movement of the gifts of the Spirit, and I love the word and. It's not either or, and we tend to be either or in the kingdom. It's just dumb. It's and. Take an aspirin and pray. You know what I mean? Go to the doctor, do the surgery, and pray. Let's get healed. Absolutely. Do we believe God heals? Just because we believe in medicine doesn't mean we don't believe in God's healing. Certainly want a miraculous healing, but people just understand, like, you can do them both. Let's go. Let's get you better so you can get on with the calling in your life. And it's not easy to be you or the calling that you may have. We need to understand that. You may be at the point of something and getting attacked. And it's not anything to do with you, or might have a little bit to do with you, but that's all right. We can still get over it. How am I doing? Okay? Just got to get this enemy out of our system who blankets and tries to convict or oppress us. That is enough. We are free. We write our own script as we are before the Lord. And certainly in good counsel, there's good doctrine, there's good understanding, but we have lots of room to love each other, okay? So you'll see that around here. We'll reach out for all kinds of supernatural power to see God move and change people's lives. We'll do it great. We'll do it terrible. We'll believe in the Holy Spirit fills us, and there is a baptism in the Holy Spirit. Do you have to speak in tongues? No, but if you want to, we'll help you do it, okay? But you're not second class if you don't. You're not. So, I mean, you can speak in tongues and sin like crazy, so it's up to you, all right? That's so dumb. So it doesn't make you more pristine than somebody else. But if you want more of God, we're here to make it work for you. To get your brain, your mind out of the way, that's all right. We'll work with it. Or not. But either way, you're of the Holy Spirit, and we want to see the gifts move through you. But we will not hold back from speaking in tongues, talk about that. But we're not making it an idol either. But we are absolutely convinced and live in this world with the infilling of the Holy Spirit, because he brings life into our walk. Amen? So those are some of the things. We certainly believe in warfare, prayer, Although Brian is a big rumbler. Brian, my brother, he loves rumbling and praying. What do you mean rumbling? He loves praying in warfare, picking fights with the enemy. I'm more like, let's just pray for our families. But he's really good like that, you know. So is that okay? But he's amazing that way. So, and you'll hear of that. And certainly have nights of prayer, and we'll chase different directions and be a part of that. I love the body of Christ because to some degree, it takes me out of the driver's seat and I get to join with. I do think I love our individual walk with God. I do think I'm suspect of my own heart, like any Christian would be, good disciple, because I tend to be cyclical, because it tends to be self-indulgent. I love joining into the worship because somebody else is in the driver's seat. And I'm not sitting there consuming like, well, they didn't hit that note right. I'm all in. Let's go. You lead, I'll follow. It's great. The same way in prayer. God, you take the reins. Whoever's in front, I'm going to go for it. That's why I love the nights of prayer we draw together. And you can feel people leaning in or spectating. When you lean in, gosh, we just make such, this last prayer night we had on my Friday night, we could feel we were taking ground that night. We almost shared it among ourselves before we went out to lead the meeting. And when we did, we could feel, we pressed in some areas, you could feel our prayers were hitting targets. And that's a wonderful thing. And it doesn't always happen. Sometimes I've had years we prayed and bouncing off the ceiling, like bang. Was it as bad as I thought? Oh, yeah. So, but I love when we break through, okay? So you catch that. You catch the warfare of prayer pushing through. We do think there's an enemy out there. We do think he can steal our lives. We do think there's loss. We absolutely do. We're in a fight for our lives. We absolutely do believe that. Sorry, that's the truth. Devil is the devil, you know? Is God greater than it all? Absolutely. Absolutely. He does things we can't do, weigh in on our words, and says way more than words, doesn't he? So, tithing, that's right. We need to talk about tithing. Oh, everybody call your wallet. Cover your wallet. Don't worry about it. First of all, God doesn't need your money. You get to be participating in that. You know what I mean? So just on that end, just we believe in tithing. You're going to hear taught teaching about giving. Giving is just so much more than just the management of your money. It's the giving of our lives, the trusting of God. The foundation of that is God, you're my source. Nobody else is. And if you're going to believe this, I promise you'll be tested on it. Because the enemy is going to go, really? Really? And you got to say, yeah, really. And mean it. And God does come through. So that's why we've locked in. We talk about the tithe, the offering. We do it on purpose. I've been astounded at the generosity of the body of Christ in the last 2 years, especially as we face COVID. I've crossed my arms and thought, well, this is going to be interesting last March, you know, in 2020 when he shut down. But the body of Christ is just amazing in its faithfulness. It's amazing how people move to what's really important when the chips are down. It's amazing. So we are also totally convinced, I don't think we'll ever close our doors ever again. You know what I mean? So we did try and help with the community and go along with it. But we have arrived at that point. I think when we joined back in last year, May 31st, came back on Pentecost Sunday, it was such a presence of God. Anybody at that meeting? It was like, I could barely talk. I cried like 15 times in that. But it was said to me that the gathering of the saints is a holy thing that God pours out on. We could do it poorly or well, but God still pours out. You know, COVID and other diseases that may come in the next 20 years, they're about life and death, but this is about eternity. And when people come, they are encouraged. When people come, they meet God. When people come, eternity is taking place in their hearts, and that we will never compromise on again. So that I don't care what government's in charge. Who cares? You know what I mean? This is a real deal. So, okay? So seeing people healed, seeing people saved, encouraged in their faith. There's something supernatural about it. And yet I know some people can't be here. It's online. Thank God for online. Thank God. It's amazing. But when you walk in here and you can feel and see each other walking in here, and we've all expended ourselves through the week, there's something supernatural and holy that God whooshes on when we pull together. Gosh, I'll never, ever not know that again. You know? So it's good. Okay. Amelia.
Things. We're so glad you're all here. If you haven't already turned in, there's some forms in the front of your booklet for those of you who are new this week, these forms here. If you haven't already turned them in, we would love if you would do that by next week. We consider you turning them in your official indicator that you want to be a member here the first week in November,
Right. No, October. First week in October, we'll recognize all the new members in the Sunday service. And the way you get on that list is if you turn in all your papers and we know you want to be here. You're welcome to not do that, and that's totally fine too. But if you want to, we need them by next week. And then if you weren't here last week, we will email you a link to the recording. You'll probably get it tomorrow from last week, so you can catch up on what you missed. I think that's all.
Brilliant. That's good. Yeah, I mean, next week is probably the culminating with Anne. She'll have a chance to, and we all come back in and pray for you guys. So that really is the grafting in. I mean, on the 1st of October, we'll, or whenever this, I think it's the 1st or 2nd, whenever the first weekend, we'll print, well, we used to print names in the bulletins. We don't do bulletins anymore. We'll probably run them on the screen. You know what I mean? When we do the announcement and just have you stand and recognize you. But the real grafting is next week when we have a chance to pray for you. Yeah, you know, and look, membership isn't a name on a paper. You know, because we don't make you prick your finger and sign in blood or anything like that. So it's the faith in your heart that you're on the right track. I want you to know we don't have any hold on you. Like if you're here 2 months and go, then you, that's fine. And some people are here assigned for a lifetime, a season. We're all over that. We're over getting our feelings hurt if you leave. I mean, I love you. I mean, I don't want you to go, but there are assignments. And if you have something in your heart, if we can help with it, let us all try and help with you. And if you fail, that's all right. Why not try something? Why go around shoulda, woulda, coulda when you could? We've had people come here and really close friends and say, you know, we're going to often do this ministry and start this church. Like, go for it. We'll help you. Come back in a year or two and say, it was such a disaster. Well, come on back. Let's go. You know, thank God you tried it. You know, that's a good thing. You will be tested on all this material in the next 2 years. All right, stand up, everybody. This is good. Pat, am I missing anything? Come on up. So let's just pray for you. Is that okay? Father, thank you for this crew that you've accumulated here. Thank you for leading and guiding them. I pray that in all this, you would tie our hearts together in the best of ways. We pray that, Lord, those who need grafting in, I pray everyone would be grafting in according to your will. God, make us a family. It's not just a gathering, but in this, see and receive you, but also see and receive one another. The treasure of each life here, the journey, the background, it's really valuable. And we pray that we're able to relax here, be secure here, but also be launched here into whatever season that we're in your power.
I just pray, Father, that if this is a home, this becomes home for you, that you would know him more, but you'd also know who you are all the more and the destiny that God has for you in this season. And we just receive you. We receive you now as a part of this body. And we just look forward to praying for each of you next week as well. So, amen.
God bless. Have a good week. See you in the service. Thank you, guys.